Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light and want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in is called Yellow Planetary Seed, and it is the 10th day of the Blue Eagle Wave Spell. It is the peak of the wave of the wave spell. It is the day of manifestation. And it is also currently the 28th day of the crystal moon, which is the last day. And the crystal moon is the 12th moon of the natural time year of the 13 moon year. The 13 moon year begins on July 26th every Gregorian year, and it finishes on July 24th. So we have 28 days left in our year, and we have one moon left. The moon is the cosmic moon. But I think today I will just sort of wind up what crystal was and also orient us to the closing of the Blue Eagle wave spell. Both of these moments in time are penultimate to the completion of each the Zolk'in and 13 moon cycles. So the crystal moon is the next to last of the 13 moon year. And the Blue Eagle wave spell is the next to last wave spell of the 260-day Zolk'in count. So I just sort of want to make sure we have a grasp of what we're leaving behind, and then we'll enter these new phases really cleanly and be in the end of a couple of different storylines. We'll start with the crystal moon that is ending tonight, and I would like to remind you that when we change between moons and when we change between wave spells, when we go to sleep in one wave spell and wake up in the next, or we go to sleep in one moon and wake up in the next, that's called taking magic flight. And perhaps our dreams reflect the transition. You can think of the day between years, it's called the day out of time on July 25th, as a whole day of being in magic flight. So the crystal moon that we're concluding, I spoke a lot about it over the last 28 days, but it is kind of monumental because I believe it is also sort of the conclusion of the year's arc of activity, that we have maybe a storyline or kind of drama unfolding, and it's the shape of a wave, of course. It builds to a peak, and then it kind of falls apart, and then it comes back together one more time in the crystal tone and settles itself. And so we've had 28 days of things settling. Crystal energy is also coming together and talking about the journey that we've had. Maybe we had separate journeys. Maybe some of us journeyed together, but we come back to a proverbial hearth or a round table, and we each take turns talking about what we saw, what we experienced, how we've evolved. And maybe you did that in the crystal moon. Maybe you ran into people and had expressions like, this is what I've been through. But in any case, I think it's just very much that now our story of the year is concluding, and what will happen next, perhaps, can't predict the future in natural time. You can just be in the present. But in the cosmic moon, I can sort of articulate that it's just like the after effects of the year that was, that all of the growth and the stories and the characters along the way and the way we changed our character, we just take kind of a long pause and become illuminated by our experience. I like the kind of metaphor of what happens after you work out hard. When you have that cardio burn and you get an endorphin rush. And then sort of even after that, when the sweat is dried out, there is this stillness and peace, satiation. The body is, you know, fully expressed itself in vitality, and there's serenity and ease and fatigue and spaciness. That's the best picture of what happens after the crystal tone when we hit the cosmic one. There is also in the cosmic tone anticipation of what's to come. You can feel it, a restlessness, an invitation, something coming our way karmically. But we'll talk about that more when we're in the cosmic moon soon. So the last things I would say about how to kind of close the door, the chapter of the crystal time, is to just acknowledge that it is meant to universalize our experience. So possibly or hopefully something happened in the last 4 weeks, or many things happen where you are able to see your commonality with some others, many others, a few others. And I think that that's the key really to the crystal teaching, is it's a time when we don't feel separated. It's a time when we feel that there's a reflection of ourselves in everyone around us, because in truth, even if we've 10 different journeys, had different battles, different karmic foes, different outcomes, some of us had a happy resolution, some of us had a sad resolution. Regardless, we discovered that truly everyone is being forced to grow rapidly, dramatically these days. That would be my presumption, is that we are in a really difficult time culturally because there is so much conflict spoken, gesticulated. It's not sublimated, it's out. And in all that is a lot of reactionary experience. I'm not talking about conservative values. I'm talking about the feeling of reacting to things all the time. It's a defense structure, like, I'm reeling from having just heard this and learned that, and I'm caught in my response, and it's, I'm agitated, I'm in pain, I'm afraid. And so that is a lot of busyness of experience. But what I bet you could say about this past year from this point, this perspective, is you are one of millions, a myriad, who are having that, what I just described is the commonality. We might be reacting to different points of view. We may not all be afraid of the same thing. We might be afraid of the opposite things. But I think that the unifying themes, the universalized themes that have presented themselves once again in this crystal time are that everyone is upset and scared and has a right to be, you know, that there are things happening through the conflicts at hand, and then some larger scale karma, some fate of the human condition that is upsetting. And that is the end of the story, I think. The end of my story, and therefore I project it onto everyone's, is, wow, this is a really challenging time. This is really shocking and difficult, and maybe it was predictable, but it's arrived really fast and furiously. I'm saying this to a point because I want to also remind you, listeners, that we're not just finishing a year on July 24th, 2019. We're finishing a 13-year wave spell. So we had all of last year in a way to universalize our 13-year wave spell. This is the cosmic year, the 13th year of 13. And we're right down to the end. And so when we are really finishing things out here and feeling the afterbirth and anticipating what's next and a kind of nervous wonderment then it's because we have had a story for all these years since 2006. I won't be able to stop talking about that when we get closer to the year's end. It will preoccupy me, so we'll have plenty of time to explore what it is like to change wave spells when they're 13 years long, to take magic flight between 13-year wave spells. I think to a degree I'm suggesting that there is some of that even right now. That's a perfect reference analogy for Blue Eagle, the wave spell of flight, of being the highest animal in the sky, being so close to the edge of the atmosphere that we almost become stars, which happens next wave spell. That's to me the beautiful mythology of how the wave spells play out at the end, is that we go from white wind to blue eagle to yellow star, that the wind lifts the blue eagle all the way to the greater sky, the celestial sky, not just the sky that is within our Earth's atmosphere. And so we are pretty much in an ascendant posture for this time. And I guess what I would say about that is that there is a way to get really high without being in your head or out of your body. And Blue Eagle is it's a poignant view of an animal that is really, really up high and embodied at the same time. And I didn't say that very elegantly because it's just obvious, but what I mean is we have an opportunity with all of these totems from the Mayan teaching to notice that we have it within us, that there is a bird soul within us. There's an aspect of ourselves that is in flight, that is naturally able to have that range of motion and outreach, and that we access it in a Blue Eagle day or a Blue Eagle wave spell. And that it's not uncomfortable, because I think that Blue Eagle people tend to be pretty in their head, a bit clinical, I say professorial, that they might not be in touch with their body, that they might very lightly only be in touch with Earth, that they spend a lot of time in the sky, and what that means perhaps is in their thoughts or in contemplation of things from an observer view, not interacting, not in the mix, but from the outside, from the beyond. They could be looking down on people. There could be a lot of judgment in their viewpoint, in that expression. So Blue Eagle people might wrestle with the extremity of their birth position. But when we touch into Blue Eagle as we pass through Blue Eagle time, it is very important for us to just give in to suddenly we're lifting off Earth and getting a big picture aspect. And suddenly we're not in the mix. We might be a little isolated or distanced from others. Whatever the experience. Birds also nest together and beautifully, and birds nurture their young beautifully. Blue Eagle isn't just about eagles. It's not just about high-flying raptors. It's all bird life, and it's all bird activities. Anything you can think of, you can relate it to this time that you've seen a bird do. It's called Blue Eagle. Of all the birds, that was the one referenced, and my perception of eagles is that they go the farthest out. They can take the greatest separation and remove from the Earth's surface, and that's really the governance of this time, is barely being here and being of service to what is on Earth's surface by reporting from far beyond it, taking in the observation of it from above, and then, you know, warning or guiding, instructing. And the way that I've experienced that in kind of a perceptive state the last days is not paying a lot of attention to things that usually really catch hold of me. I haven't even been paying that much attention to the calendar, which means that I am not fully ruminating on each day. I'm not totally engaged with the synchronicities that are occurring. Instead, I'm just sort of rolling. I feel maybe it's like a cruise. It's an altitude cruise. Just get up and you're not stuck in feeling experiences that are messy. You maybe are more in your head, but there's a clear focus there. That's been part of my Blue Eagle time that I've cherished. Remember I said it's the permission to just be in your head. It's not meant either to condemn Blue Eagle people just because I have a difficult relationship with my mother who's a Blue Eagle. I don't mean to have an attitude about how difficult Blue Eagle people can be. I think that the difficulty exists for each of us in the shadow of our day sign, of our tribe. And I think that the Blue Eagle's shadow is being clinical and judgmental and unable to have empathy or busy themselves with the workings and machinations of everyday life. But I can tell you about the shadow of Blue Storm, which is rage and destruction. I don't think one is better or worse than the other. In fact, I think maybe Blue Storm shadow energy is more difficult than some of the other day signs. So this isn't meaning to assign blame or castigation. It's just an evaluation of how we might struggle with being too mental, being too remote from human relations. But that's totally permissible in this time. If you've had that experience of distance, then it was in balance. We're going to move into the next tribe teaching in Yellow Star, and then we begin all over again in the new Zulcan with Red Dragon. And every day sign has its time in the sun. And if we really commit to awareness of each, then we find ourselves in the center of the circle of life, that there's holism in us when we give over to the teachings, the energy, the synchronicity, the sacred aspects of each wave spell. So all I will do now is march us through these last days of the Blue Eagle wave spell, and I can talk about the spectral day taking us into Red Spectral Serpent as a reminder that the 11th day of every wave spell, the spectral day, is always the antipode of the wave spell. And the antipode is a fancy way of saying the opposite. I'm sort of attached to the word antipode because it was taught to me, but some people call it the challenge. I don't think that's appropriate. I think opposite is fine, and I'll tell you why. It is the opposite finger or toe of whatever wave spell we're in as well. So the Blue Eagle wave spell is the left big toe, and then its antipode is Red Serpent. So here on the 11th day of the Blue Eagle wave spell, we have Red Serpent. We have move 10 spaces in terms of the 20-day signs. And we're in a situation, an element that is opposite, but also balancing. And you can use the visual of, yes, your two big toes are opposite each other, but they also resemble each other more than any other finger or toe. So the antipode is not like the least like. It doesn't mean the least like. The antipode means that together balance is created. It is something opposite, and together these two elements create balance, harmony. The way I illustrate that with Blue Eagle and Red Serpent is actually the best example of the antipode relationship in the whole Zulcan schema. Because Blue Eagle is the highest flying animal, and Red Serpent is the animal that's the lowest to the ground. It doesn't even have legs. Even an ant lifts its little body off on legs. But a snake is just slithering, skin to earth. It's very sensual. It's very primal. And a snake doesn't have all these limbs to protect itself. It can't take off in flight to evade a predator. So it has a lot of fear. At its base is a lot of awareness of threat. And that informs its reptilian brain. The snake brain is not heart-centered, it's survival-centered. So you have the lowest gliding creature that hugs the contours of the earth, and then you have the eagle that lifts off and is in flight far, far away from the earth. And then they balance each other perfectly. And the deity of Quetzalcoatl, coming out of ancient Mexico, is the story of the plumed serpent. And I find that that is such a great reminder that if you embrace your opposite, something sacred and heavenly emerges. So I'll say, like, blue eagle is opposite red serpent. Again, using blue storm as one representation, it involves our year that we're currently in. Blue storm is the left pinky toe and red moon is the right pinky toe. Currently, we're in a red moon year. 2 years from now, it'll be a blue storm year because our year changes. You know, it changes from antipode partners from year to year. It's always red moon, white wizard, blue storm, yellow seed. Those are the 4 years that we celebrate on July 26, invoking, you know, the change. And yellow seed and white wizard are opposites, antipodes, and so are blue storm and red moon. So currently in our red moon year, you could say that if you have a blue storm day, it balances the year. If you have a blue storm wave spell, it balances the year as well. And blue storm is, it's like there's water in both blue storm and red moon. Red moon is water, the element water, and water everywhere. And blue storm is like movement of water, transformative water that catches fire. That's what lightning is in the sky, when water molecules explode under pressure and they burst into flame, essentially. And so water is connective, but one is in the sky and one is flowing on the earth. One is like fully a force to be reckoned with, shattering in some way. And then water on the earth, as described by Red Moon, is more about water that flows without conflict. It isn't the foment of water on earth, it's the flow of water on earth. So I think that you could take every pair of opposites, of antipodes, and find a little bit of a poetic approach to understanding their relationship. I'll continue to do that as we move forward. But red spectral serpent is the day where we return to earth fast in our waveform. We have built up to this peak experience for 10 days, and then in one day it all turns over and the pressure to rise is pushed back to earth, and it's head over heels chaotic. Spectral days are invitations to surrender to what is and to not force your agenda. You can't. You can only kind of grapple with the undoing, and that undoing can feel a lot like liberation, which is one of the words for the day. That undoing and surrender can feel like release instead of tension. It can feel like relaxation, fast relaxation. A surge of release is dynamic relaxation. So we have red spectral serpent, and then we have white crystal world bridger, crystal tone revisited. White world bridger is the day of death. So what does that mean? It's the death of limitations. When you hear a world bridger, please train yourself to, well, to hear death, because it's a picture of a skull. Feel that you're not going to have to deal with an actual death that day. Think of it as the death of limitations, that something dies so that something else can either exist more strongly, more focally in your life, or so that something else can begin. You know, one door closes, another opens. the death of limitations. I just think if you understand world bridge would be death, you have to add of limitations or you're going to drive yourself crazy, because it sounds scary and fatalistic and that we're going to lose something that we might want. But I rather would say that we lose something that's in the way of what we really need. On Saturday, it will be Blue Cosmic Hand, and that's the last day of the Blue Eagle Wave spell, so you'll take some magic flight Saturday night, and then we'll start with Yellow Magnetic Star on Sunday. And I just kind of have the glitch going in my head right now to say aloud that since Donald Trump is a blue hand, Blue Hand Days might have some kind of importance for him, significance. He might have dominion even. Somehow it got bottled up in me as I considered that we have Blue Cosmic Hand on Saturday, that really all I want to say about it is be watchful of what he's up to. He's very manipulative, which is a shadow energy for Blue Hand. So Blue Hand is an accomplishment-oriented person, and that is really his drill. He wants to get stuff done, and it's admirable. If you think of all the politicians that back off and hedge their bets and waffle, and a lot of their campaign pledges were things they really wanted to be able to do, but then they hit all the gridlock, and they just sort of backed off and made other negotiations or other things came up and took precedence. Like, there is a single focus of accomplishment that comes from Donald Trump that is so evident of his blue hand birth energy. And I can't admire him, but I can see and sense that he's being authentic in that way. He's driven to get things done. He's also really into manufacturing things, buildings, I suppose, but that's another word that has its root in Latin for hand, making something. And then manipulating is the dark side of that, using one's hand and mind, coordinating our hand-eye motion so that we can use our hands to kind of be the creators of things we're envisioning in our mind's eye. That's what Blue Hand is. It's really dexterous handwork on the one hand, but it's also just the ability to have an idea. So Blue Hand people can be very sharp-witted. They can see things pretty sharply, clearly, and then they can make them. They can make it happen from how they see it. So it is hand-eye, and it is a perfect way to end the Blue Eagle, that you have had all of this visioning, observing, ideas awakening in you, big picture thoughts, and then finishing it out with something that might be more tangible. To get away from it being about Trump, I would say check out your Saturday and see if you suddenly want to make something. And notice how that could feel like the beginning of coming back into our body after really lifting out and getting to the edges of the atmosphere, which was appropriate in this time. But how putting our hands together to make something on Blue Cosmic Hand can be a return to Earth. It's like touching down on our talons. Well, what's left is to talk about why it's hard. And I actually had a pretty big flash on that. My flash was, oh, I forget, except it's true that the eagle is America's spirit animal. And by America, I mean the United States, the Constitution, the self-created democracy. I don't mean the Americas that were inhabited by Native Americans. I mean, since. And so they chose this totem of the eagle. And so it doesn't surprise me that we're having a little reckoning again with the US of A. I think the reckoning is really about the falsehood that the country shouldn't have any more immigrants, since it is a country of immigrants. And since there was a lot of displacement when the first people came, So that is a massive hypocritical shadow form. And I would say that's really been strongly ascendant in the time of Blue Eagle. Just, I don't want to deny people's fear of losing what's familiar to them, because I have that. I know what that feels like. You don't want to lose the things that you love. So ideology is mixed up in people's true sense of safety or purpose or connection. But I just think historically there is not enough remembrance that everyone came here on a boat except the first obliterated folks who were here when the boats arrived. So I think that's hard. I think we're talking about some hard karma culturally in the land that we've lifted off, and we're not just in the melee of, you know, running in circles. Our everyday life on earth has been lifted to a higher purpose of visioning for the last 10 days with a few more to go. And we're seeing some hard truths from that perspective. In terms of maybe a small prediction, I say it might be hard to come back into your body after this. There's a pleasure in not being close to the ground. In our heads, it's kind of pleasurable to wall ourselves off to one part of our body and not be so big, so bulky, to be streamlined, efficient, just thinking about things, watching them. And again, I mean no disrespect to that at all. And nor do I mean that if you're a Blue Eagle person, that that's all you do. Because as a Blue Eagle person, you go through all the other day signs. We all experience everything. But, you know, red spectral serpent, I think we'll feel that back to issues of survival and coiling ourselves up to stay safe and moving slowly and not seeing much beyond where we're slithering. That could be an adjustment. There's some special episodes that are being thrown up onto my website, resonanttruth.com. So look for them this week. I've been busy in the Blue Eagle time. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In La Keshe.